fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the way that you warn us in Scripture. We're thankful for the things that you tell us to avoid, and we know that you do that for our safety and for our protection. And Lord, as we look at discontentment tonight, we pray that you would open our eyes to the nature of this sin. Lord, reveal it where it may live in our hearts. And Lord, may we be thankful and may we be content with what you have given to us. We pray that you teach us now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Pringles is pretty famous for their slogan, which used to be, "Once you pop, you can't stop." But did you know recently they changed that? A couple years ago, they introduced a new slogan, which I don't know if anybody knew. I didn't know this. Their new slogan is "mind popping." So I'm like, okay, that's fine, I guess. I think it's like mind blowing, but you know, mind popping. It doesn't resonate as well with me, you know. But that one was iconic, right? Once you pop, you can't stop. Anyway, and it just described how we are many times with things of that nature, you know, and things that with food, right? That once you eat one, it's like, well, here we go. Let's just keep eating, you know. And according to food science, it's the combination of sugars, fats, and salt that are addicting, and it releases dopamine and it makes you crave those things. And it's just, you know, once you have one, you're just like, well, I'm just gonna have another one and keep going. And once you pop, you can't stop. It's just downhill from there, and you're just on that path. And how many times have we said, you know what, I'll just have one, or I'll just have a few, and then you're like, well, now that I'm here, right, let's just embrace it. And you end up having a lot more than you planned on having. And you're like, a few isn't that bad, but we know it's not going to stop there. And on a serious note, there are some sins that I think we don't consider awful. We don't consider them like horrible sins. We have in our mind some that are like bigger than others. But the thing about discontentment is where it leads. And then it's a sort of sin that starts us on a path that ends in a place that we can't even imagine if we follow it all the way to the end. And discontentment is that sort of sin that starts us on a very negative and very destructive path. And tonight I want to look at David as a portrait of discontentment. A portrait of discontentment. We're probably all familiar with this story of David. And when we come to chapter 12, Nathan confronts David down in the end of verse 9 of murdering one of his soldiers, Uriah the Hittite, who according to 2 Samuel 23 was one of a special group of elite soldiers, right? He was a very important soldier in David's army. But David, as they had gone out to battle, ordered Joab, his commander, to kind of charge ahead and have Uriah lead this charge. But then in the moment of battle, he says, "Joab, you're going to pull everybody back and we're going to leave Uriah out so that Uriah dies." And Joab follows that command and Uriah is killed. And we know David is doing that to cover up the affair that he was having with Uriah's wife, with Bathsheba. And we look at that and go, this is not the David that we know. This is not the David of a lot of the Psalms where he's praising God and talking about how much he loves the Lord and all of these things. We go, what happened? How could David, a man after God's own heart, end up where he is in this passage? And we look at it and go, it didn't start with murder and it didn't start with adultery. And you know, it never does. It never starts that way. It always starts with something smaller. And I believe it started even before lust and envy in David's heart. It started with discontentment. And the question tonight is, are we letting discontentment pull us down that path? Are we letting discontentment in our life lead us to somewhere we don't want to go? And so God sends Nathan. He sends this prophet to confront David. And Nathan tells him the story starting in verse 1 down through verse 4, this statement of a man and his like pet and all that happens to this pet, right? And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I think the moral is don't mess with somebody's pet. I think that's part of it. But anyways, David is upset at the injustice that happens, and he demands that judgment takes place. And Nathan says, that's you. You are the one that deserves judgment because of what you have done. And then he talks to him, and he gives him this statement in verse 7, 8, and 9. And I want to look at that part of Nathan's statement. And we're going to ask ourselves three hard questions tonight about discontentment in our life. And so the first question we're going to take from verse 7 and the beginning of verse 8, where Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little. And we're going to stop there, but here's the first question. Is what God has given you enough for you? Ask the question. Is what God has given you enough for you? Because David showed that everything God had given to him wasn't enough. It was too little. And Nathan brings him to that thought, that if that had been too little, all that God had given David, all that God had done for David, and yet there was part of David's heart that said, oh, that's not enough. There's something else that I want that God has not given to me. You know, we look at Scripture and we find over and over passages that talk about how much God has blessed us and all the things that God has given to us. Philippians 4:19, God has told us that he will supply all of our needs. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We read all these verses, but discontentment doesn't accept that. Discontentment says, yes, but there's something else that we want. Something else that we need in our life. Something else that God has not provided. God has withheld something from us, and that's what we want. And discontentment, it can even believe that in the future, God can and will provide, and God will take care of things. But right now, there's something missing. Right now, there's something that God has not provided. And yes, with all that God has done, discontentment says, yeah, but it's not enough. There's something else. And you know, Satan used this with Adam and Eve, didn't he? Because Satan pointed out that of all that God had given to them in the Garden of Eden, everything that they had, he pointed to the one thing they did not have and said, you want this. This is what you need. And God is holding this back from you. And he stirred up them in them this discontentment with everything else. And we go, how could that happen? With everything that they had. They were in the Garden of Eden, and yet there was discontentment that's there. And it's no different for us with all that we have, right? That we could be content with. And yet if we allow discontentment to live in our heart, we'll look at it and go, it's not enough. There's something else that I want. I know that many times I've built Lego sets with the boys, and they'll get a new Lego set and we'll build it. And it's happened a couple times that we'll be going through and we'll be looking for a piece. We have all the pieces laid out. We're looking at the instructions. We go, we're missing a piece. Lego didn't put it in the bag. It's not in the box. We're missing a piece. And so we're looking all over the place. And we're like, it's not here. They must have done something wrong. We don't have what we need. And then if we look a little further, and usually it's that we made a mistake in the instructions earlier on, we put that piece on somewhere where it didn't go, and then we find it. We go, you know what, if we look long enough, we'll find it. You know, if we choose to just look at what we have, we'll find enough reasons to be content. And if we just thank God for what he has given to us, we can have contentment. But is what God has given us not enough for us tonight? Tonight, right now, in where we are in our life, even with all that God has given us, is there something in us that's saying, there's something else. What I have right now is not enough. Well, there's another question we need to ask. This is from the end of verse 8, where the Lord says, if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. The question is, are we willing to give up what God has planned for us? Are we willing to give up what God has planned for us to get what we want? And discontentment always loses out in the end, because sin always takes more than it promises. It does, every single time. And the temptation that's always there is of what sin will do for us and what it will give to us, but it never tells us what it's going to take. It never tells us what it's going to ruin in our life or what is going to be missing because of sin. But sin always promises more than it can give, and it always takes, and it loses out in the end. And discontentment looks at what is missing, but it doesn't realize what it also gives away. And we know that discontentment takes away the peace, the joy that God wants for us. It takes away the satisfaction that God wants us to have. And it's this trading away of the blessings of God for discontentment and dissatisfaction. And it gets us to forfeit present blessings, forfeit the things that God wants to provide. But it also is going to, if we continue down that path, forfeit future blessings. I think about Esau. And as Esau comes back from hunting, and he comes up to Jacob, and Jacob is there with the stew that he's prepared. And Esau is willing to give away his birthright for that. Right? In that moment of desiring something, he gives away a future blessing for something that he could have right then. And that's what discontentment gets us to do. It gets us to start down this path that is going to continue to take and take and take. And it puts us in a place where God has to withhold blessings from us. And the Lord looks at David and says, listen, I would have given you such and such things. And we don't know what those things are. And we don't know what David would end up missing out on. But for us, do we really want to trade away what God offers for something that we think we want? For something else? Are we really willing to give up what God has planned for us in exchange for something? And if we think about it rationally and scripturally, there's no way. Why would we want to give up what God has for us for anything that this world has to offer? But there's one more question. It comes from verse 9. Where the Lord, through Nathan, says to David, he says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. And the question is, the third question is, are you prepared to go where discontentment will take you? Are you prepared to go where discontentment is going to take you? Discontentment can be very persuasive. It's like that one friend that can always talk you into doing things, you know, that one person who's like, come on, and you're like, oh, all right. That's the way discontentment is. It never gives up on us. It just, if we allow it to stay, it just keeps pulling us further and further and further down that path. And you may be at the point where you're like, well, it hasn't gone that far. But what's the next sin that it's going to pull you into? What's that next step that it's trying to drag you toward, that if you don't just say no to it, that you're going to keep going step after step after step, further and further down that path? And for David, it was pretty extreme, right? All the way to adultery and to murder. I think for most people, it doesn't go that far, at least on the outside. But we know what the Lord has said, and I'm not going to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 5, twice, Jesus talks about these two sins. And he says that, listen, adultery starts in the heart. It starts in the way we think about other people. And he says murder starts in the heart. It starts in how we think about other people. And discontentment starts us down that path. And it leads to bitterness, it leads to frustration, it leads to anger, it leads to selfishness, pride, lying, unkindness, and we could go on and talk about so many other things that it is dragging us toward if we allow it to remain. How far are we going to let it pull us? Are we prepared to go as far as it wants to take us? Are we prepared to go where discontentment is taking us? And those are the questions we need to really ask ourselves tonight. Because I don't think David had any idea when it started that this is where he was going to end up. I don't think he had any clue that he would go as far as he did and do the things that he did. But once you get started, it will take you further than you want to go, and it'll hurt you more than you think it will. I want to tell you a secret about contentment and discontentment. And turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The secret about discontentment and contentment is this. Those things, they're not about, contentment and discontentment, they're not about things. They're not even about people. Really, it's about God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I think we're familiar with this verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Why? For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He talks about not being covetous. He talks about how you need to be content. And then he says, you know why you can be content? Because God is with you. You know what he didn't say? He didn't say that be content because of the car that you have or the house that you have or the relationship that you're in or anything like that. He says, no, you be content because you have God. And the secret to contentment is focus on God. Focus on who God is and your love and devotion toward God. Discontentment is a taking of our focus and putting it on something else when it needs to be in one place and one place only, and that is on God. When we turn our attention toward God and turn our devotion toward God, that's when we find contentment. And I want to go to one other passage, 1 John chapter 2. If you go with me, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 'Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.'" And it talks about these lusts that we can have, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and discontentment is wrapped up in that, in all the other things. And it tells us, don't love those things. And it doesn't even tell us, love the things that you have. It tells us, love God. Pour out your devotion and your heart to God. Focus on Him. If you're on the path of discontentment and you can feel that in your life, don't stay on that path one moment longer. Get off that path. Get on a path of devotion toward God. Turn your attention toward God. Love God with all your heart. Do what you can to pour out your heart in devotion toward God. God will bring contentment. God will bring peace and joy and satisfaction to your life. But you have to leave that path. It'll take you further than you want to go. We see David as this portrait of discontentment. And it started, I think, long before we see it in Scripture. But it led him down this path. It took him further than he wanted to go. And this is what discontentment does. If you're on that path tonight, you've got to get off it. Don't let it start in your heart. Don't let it control your heart. Focus on the Lord. Love God with all your heart, and He will bring contentment. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for this lesson that we can learn. Lord, discontentment, it happens so quickly in our hearts to just turn our attention toward other things. Lord, we pray that you would point that out in our life. Point out areas where, Lord, where you and the things that you have done are not enough for us. Help us to focus on you. Help us to love you. And we pray that you would build in our hearts a complete contentment with you and what you've given to us. Lord, help us to love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.